Fed Chair Jerome Powell signals a possible rate cut is on the horizon.
The Fed chairman made no effort to pull back the market's expectation that a rate cut is coming fairly soon.
Plus, Kim Darroch, the UK's ambassador to the US, resigns after cables where he criticized President Trump were leaked.
Donald Trump responded by saying that Mr. Darroch was unfit for the role. He said he could no longer work with the British ambassador in Washington. And eventually this resulted in Mr. Darroch actually tendering his own resignation.
This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. U.S. stocks rose to records after Powell's testimony and signals the central bank would move to cut interest rates. The Nasdaq closed at a new record, up 0.75% to end the day at 8,202. The Dow and the S&P 500 had pared back their gains by the close, but still ended up higher for the day. We'll have more on Powell's testimony coming up after these headlines. Labor Secretary Alexander Acosta continued to defend his handling of a case involving billionaire Jeffrey Epstein in 2008, when Acosta was the U.S. attorney in Miami. That case ended with a federal non-prosecution agreement. Acosta is now facing calls to resign from his post after Epstein was charged in New York earlier this week with two counts related to sex trafficking of minors. Acosta answered questions about the 2008 case at a press conference on Wednesday. House Democrats have also invited him to testify about the case later this month. That's the sound of fans cheering on the U.S. women's soccer team at a parade in New York City on Wednesday morning in honor of their World Cup win on Sunday, when the team defeated the Netherlands 2-0. Nielsen says some 14.3 million Americans tuned into the final game, surpassing the audience for the Men's World Cup final match in 2018. The women's team has sued the U.S. Soccer Federation, claiming they earn less than their peers on the men's team. The case is set to proceed to mediation. An investigation by The Wall Street Journal has found that California utility PG&E knew for years that its power lines could start wildfires, but repeatedly failed to upgrade them. Last year, the failure of a transmission line sparked the state's deadliest wildfire, which killed 85 people and destroyed the town of Paradise. PG&E filed for bankruptcy in January, saying it was facing upwards of $30 billion in liability costs. The Journal's investigation also poses an important question: who should be responsible for ensuring the nation's electricity infrastructure is safe? For more details on what our reporters found and to weigh in on the conversation, please head to our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell says the economic outlook hasn't improved since the Fed's last meeting or despite a strong June jobs report. During testimony before the House Financial Services Committee on Wednesday, he said global trade is still an uncertainty.
We've agreed to begin discussions again with China, and that's a constructive step, it doesn't remove the uncertainty that we see as overall weighing on the outlook. So I would say that the bottom line for me is that the uncertainties around global growth and trade continue to weigh on the outlook.
Fed watchers say that's likely setting the stage for a rate cut later this month. Joining me now from Washington with more on Powell's testimony is Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson. Kate, the June jobs report threw a little bit of uncertainty into whether the Fed would go ahead with a anticipated rate cut at their next meeting. But the sense from Powell's testimony on Wednesday does seem to signal a rate cut is likely. Besides trade, what other factors did Jerome Powell indicate are weighing on the Fed ahead of its meeting later this month?
Well, right. He talked about the fact that the trade outlook is very uncertain and the fact that that may be weighing on businesses who are thinking about hiring and making new investments. And business investment was fairly strong through 2017 into even into 2018, thanks in part to some changes from the tax cut, the tax overhaul. But that has slowed markedly this year. So that's something that Fed officials are looking at. And Jerome Powell said, you know, that seems like there's a strong case to make that that is due to the trade uncertainty. Slowing global growth, of course, is another factor that Fed officials are looking at. He also pointed to some underlying economic factors with the labor market. You know, wage gains have not been particularly strong, and inflation is still very muted. And those are changes, I think, that Fed officials had previously been saying for a while, that they thought that lower inflation was transitory, that it would continue to pick back up. And we're hearing from the Fed chairman more recently, and he reiterated today, that is, might not actually happen, that their thinking seems to be changing on that. So those are some other reasons that might support a rate cut in the near future.
Kate, Powell himself also got a vote of confidence, something of a vote of confidence from lawmakers, and was questioned on whether he'd leave his post if the president tried to fire him. Tell us about those exchanges. That's been in the headlines a lot, the public disapproval from President Trump on the Fed's moves here.
It has. And so the chairwoman of the House Financial Services Committee, Maxine Waters, she took the opportunity pretty much at the outset of the hearing to ask him, even though he's been asked many times at press conferences and in other public appearances, what would you do if the president called you up and said, I'm firing you? You know, it's time to go. And he responded sort of, quietly, well, of course I wouldn't do that. And Congresswoman Waters said, I can't hear you. And everyone in the hearing room kind of laughed. She encouraged him to say very clearly, and he did, my answer would be no. And, she pressed him a couple times. You wouldn't just pack up and leave? He said, no, I've answered this question. He kind of said politely that my term is for 4 years and I intend to serve out my term. So there was that. But there were also a number of comments from Democrats and Republicans basically praising the Fed chairman, telling him that they thought he was doing a good job, and a couple of Democrats even explicitly saying, we've got your back. Congressman David Scott from Georgia said, we will support you. We've got your back in this situation. And so I think that even for Republicans offering their support, I think is a strong signal that they're really not on the same page as the president when it comes to this criticism of the central bank.
And finally, Powell is back on the Hill again on Thursday. What do you think we can expect?
Well, Thursday he'll be in the Senate, which tends to be a little bit more low-key. There are much fewer members. A lot of time they will question him about financial regulation. One of the things we did hear actually about a fair amount today was Libra, Facebook's new cryptocurrency that they're exploring. They've met with Fed regulators to talk about this and others. That was a popular topic. I expect that he'll get a number of questions about that tomorrow. The minimum wage came up quite a bit. Democrats were pressing him on that. Senator Elizabeth Warren, who is running for president, has talked about this issue. She's on the Senate Banking Committee. Maybe she'll throw him a question on that. She tends to focus on financial regulation. So we'll see. But I think most of the news that we were going to get probably came from today's hearing.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Kate Davidson joining us from Washington. Thank you so much, Kate.
Sure. Thank you.
Now we head to London, where Britain's ambassador to the U.S., Kim Darroch, resigned on Wednesday after cables where he criticized President Trump were leaked. Afterwards, Trump said he could no longer work with Darroch. Prime Minister Theresa May spoke about his resignation before Parliament on Wednesday.
Mr. Speaker, this morning I have spoken to Sir Kim Darroch. I have told him that it is a matter of great regret that he has felt it necessary to leave his position as ambassador in Washington.
Darroch had been due to step down at the end of the year. The Wall Street Journal's Kim Gittleson spoke with reporter Max Colchester for more details on Darroch's resignation.
So, Max, walk me through what happened here. This all started with a British newspaper, right?
Correct, yes. This started on Sunday with a leak in the Mail on Sunday newspaper, which published what looked like a curated selection from Mr. Darroch's diplomatic letters back from Washington, in which he repeatedly criticized the Trump administration, including calling it inept and saying it had a dysfunctional policy on Iran and other foreign matters. On three successive days, Donald Trump responded by saying that Mr. Darroch was unfit for the role. He said he could no longer work with the British ambassador in Washington. And eventually this resulted in Mr. Darroch actually tendering his own resignation.
Did he have the support of Britain's politicians, he in this case meaning Mr. Darroch?
He had the support of some of Britain's politicians. The British government said it backed him. The current Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, said he backed him. But crucially, the man who is tipped to become the next Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, said that he didn't confirm that he would support him. And that left a serious question mark over whether Mr. Darroch would in fact remain in post if, as expected, Mr. Johnson becomes Prime Minister later this month.
I mean, how unprecedented is it to not offer support to a foreign ambassador in this way?
It's extremely unusual. And the head of the Foreign Office in the UK was just telling Parliament right now that actually he's never seen anything like this. It's extremely unusual for an ally to refuse to work with a British ambassador, resulting in him being kicked out. And it's also extremely unusual to see a politician who is, you know, slated to become leader also refuse to endorse an ambassador. So these are very much uncharted territories for Britain's Foreign Service.
I mean, this all comes against a backdrop of Brexit, doesn't it? Where the UK is hoping to have a much closer relationship with the US. Has there been any fallout in terms of that? What's the commentary been in the UK in terms of Mr. Darroch's resignation?
Well, there's been a lot of criticism of Mr. Johnson's approach to this. Boris Johnson has gone to great lengths to build warm ties with the Trump administration, and he seems prepared not to risk those to try and help Mr. Darroch in keeping his job, at least. So the commentary has been that Britain is essentially prostrating itself in front of the Trump administration in order to secure potentially what Mr. Johnson wants as opposed to what is best for the British diplomatic corps. And that, I think many say, is quite a worrying feat.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Max Colchester speaking with Kim Gittleson. We'd like to hear your thoughts on Kim Darroch's resignation. Do you think he should have stepped down? Let us know why or why not with a comment on our website or by emailing us at whatsnews@wsj.com. And that's What's News for this Wednesday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Hertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.